Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from guilt and make me pure. Oh, how we need that double cure, to be forgiven and to be changed. Turning again to Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Here we read Paul at Athens. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him, and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest, is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Let's pray, giving thanks for what we read, and also asking the Lord to teach us from it, that we might have understanding, that we might have our needs fulfilled today, as was done here by the preaching of Paul at Athens. Our Father, as we come to thee, being in this nation that is often called Christian, we acknowledge, Father, that thou hast also become to many in this nation an unknown God, no longer recognizing thee as Creator, as having done, as Paul could say here to the Athenians, making one blood, and of one blood all nations, declaring plainly that it is in thee that we live and move and have our being, that thou art the one alone who gives life and breath and all things, that thou hast created us for thy glory, and what thou hast created now gives thee glory, particularly in nature. And we know also, Father, that the church that is bought with the blood of Christ has also been saved to give thee glory, to give glory to Christ, to give glory to thy grace, even thou who art the God of all grace, and to give glory to thy work also by thy Spirit, causing sinners to be born anew, born again, so that we might see thy kingdom and be made willing to enter into it. And we pray for that blessed Spirit to be sent now to the church in our nation and the church in every nation to revive it, even to awaken it where that is needed, as the church was told by the writings of Paul, awake thou that sleepest, rise from among the dead. And thou, Lord Jesus, hast promised to give light and also life and to renew life in the church. And we pray for that. We think of one church thou didst order John to write to, declaring that they had a name that they live in were dead. Father, we fear that we are fast hastening to our death in this nation to have thee to remove the candlestick. And we pray and plead, Father, that because of Christ this may not happen, but that we might be revived, awakened, and used for thy glory and for the good of the world. All in Christ's name do we ask it. Amen. We think of Paul coming here to this city. He waited for Timothy and for others that were with him. And while he waited for them, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We can read much of Paul's spirit. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." He also said in that same context, "The love of Christ constraineth me." And he also wrote to that same church, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." We can see by this the very thinking of Paul. We can certainly read his words, and we do read them as he spoke to the Athenians. And as we read, he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews. He had a word and a mind toward both the religious and the worldly. And we need that today. We need laborers that will understand that, first of all, as the apostles on the day of resurrection had to have their understanding opened. And as Paul had to be called out of his darkness, and when he was called, we read, he trembling and astonished said, "Who art thou, Lord? And what wilt thou have me to do?" From then on, Paul was like this. He almost immediately began to preach of Christ. And in his preaching, he not only preached the Lord Jesus, he not only brought the gospel of Christ and declared, as he also did the Corinthians later, that by which they were saved, that gospel. And we see, as he could say a little later to King Agrippa, that he was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. And so Paul here, at this time, about 20 years after the Lord Jesus died, probably about 15 or 16, 17 years, we don't know exactly when Paul was called, how long after Christ died and ascended, but in that area, between 15 and 20 years, that he was here doing the same as he did from the very beginning of his calling, that there was no let up, that he faithfully saw what was needed to see, and to see it rightly, to see God's kingdom, and to see the lack of it wherever he went. And we need both today in the church. We need to see God's kingdom. And Paul could speak of that. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands. He is declaring God the Creator. And he's declaring that Creator, as the Lord Jesus himself said, that God gave his only begotten Son. We can see that Paul was doing that. We go back to verse 18. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Exactly how he preached Christ, we aren't told here. We're simply given the summary of it. We are told what he said later, in at least part of his words. There very likely were more words spoken than what we can read here just in a very few minutes. But this is the sum of what he spoke. And earlier, the sum of it was simply Jesus and the resurrection. That's what he preached. Oft times we see Paul first preaching the gospel, and then declaring to them how much they need it. Christ is still spoken of in most of the church. He's still spoken of as the Son of God, the one who became a man, the one who lived and died and rose again. Some more faithfully than others. Some do not even want to recognize the resurrection that Paul here spake of, both in the beginning of his speaking here to the Athenians, and we read it in the last verses that we read from the 17th chapter, that when he spoke of the resurrection, many mocked and said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." They didn't take it seriously, but Paul preached it. But he also preached to sinners as they were. And I'm afraid this is what is often lacking. I was told that basically everything was all right because I was baptized. God promised, I was heard from the pulpit, God promised to me in my baptism that I was his child, and I was called to live like it. How can one live when they are still dead? And though some would want to indicate that baptism imparts life, many different versions of it, many different views of that which is not shown, taught, not given an example of in Scripture. Some want to refer to it and say, well, it was there were household baptisms, but we do not read that any child was baptized. We read there were believers baptized just before this in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, how Paul preached to him and to all that was in his house. And we read they all believed and they were all baptized. And so there was certainly a household baptism. We can also say it was a believer baptism. And I was told that. But Paul doesn't come here, and even some. I heard someone speak a while back when they did not want another who had taken their ministry to preach as plainly, as strongly as they were, and used this as an example that Paul sort of soft-pedaled the message that he brought. In one way, Paul always spake the truth in love. Unless we do that, we are like a tingling cymbal and a sounding brass. It must be in love to God. It must be in love to our neighbor. It must be for their good. Even the worst of sinners, we must seek to convert them from the error of their way and save a soul from death. Paul had his spirit stirred when he saw the city given to idolatry. On the one hand, he knew God was dishonored. But on the other hand, he didn't just give them the message of condemnation. He brought them the answer. And he began with the answer. He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus who became a man. Jesus who died. And Jesus who rose again. We may believe that that was there. And as he could say to the church at Ephesus, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. He was pure from the blood of all men. And we may believe he was pure from the blood of these Athenians, that he brought the message needed. And as we brought part of this message last week from this chapter, and I want to bring some more things from it, that he preached Christ, he preached the gospel. All the details aren't here, like he said so plainly when he wrote to Corinth, that the gospel which I preached unto you, and declare that that gospel was Christ dying for our sin according to the Scripture, being buried and rising again according to the Scripture. That's probably where he gives it in the most detail. But again and again, we can read in the book of Acts, there they preached the gospel. And we can know that in that one word, everything that I just said that Paul wrote to the Corinthians is included. Or as he said to the church at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That includes the good news of who Christ is. And as he could say to the Corinthians, Christ and him crucified. But along with it, we find the message of the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. We have a living Savior. Yes, a living Savior. Many religions speak of a prophet that's dead, as if they are great prophets, but they died and they stayed dead. And if they didn't believe the gospel of Christ, woe unto them. As Paul could say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, but it would be woe as well. And he also said that he kept his body in subjection lest he himself would be a castaway. All of that is part of Paul's ministry wherever he went. And here he preached it to Jew and to Gentile. He preached it in the synagogue and he preached it in the marketplace. When he was at Ephesus, he said he preached it publicly and from house to house. Everywhere Paul went. every place needed, and that's what we should be doing today. We need to learn of Paul. We need to learn the gospel from him ourselves that we might believe it. I can remember my own thoughts of Paul before I was converted. They weren't good. Now I think of Paul as a wonderful example of a preacher of the gospel. He was willing to dispute in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and the marketplace daily with them that met with him. He didn't just say, come back next Sunday. There were times when I'm sure he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath days. We can read of that. But when they weren't in the synagogue, he went to the marketplace. He went to where the people were. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Where people are, there we must preach the gospel. And I feel guilty. Yes, we can do it by means of radio, and it will reach many different places, but many places do not hear the gospel. And they need to be. It needs to be preached. It needs to be preached again in the market. It needs to be preached as it was here by Paul. And as they could say, thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. And we would know, therefore, what these things mean. What a blessing that was, that these people did receive it as well as they did. Even though some of them are described as mocking, there are also some described in the end as believing. They were only a few. In fact, only two are mentioned in the verse, in the 34th verse. One man and one woman. But we see that many places where Paul had preached, there was the beginning of a church. And we need that today. I hear of people that can't find a church to worship in, where the truth is still preached as it was formerly. I remember a church that began in a certain city in our nation. It began when a Catholic priest was converted. And I called there one time to see if that same church was in existence. And I asked if that was the church where that certain pastor was, 150 plus years ago. And they said, yes. And I said, are you still preaching the same gospel that this man preached then? And his answer was, we're just beginning to preach the Bible again. They had gone into social ways, political ways, preaching that. But he says, we're just beginning to preach the gospel again. Oh, would to God that the gospel would begin to be preached in every state, every city, every part of this nation, and every part of the world. That it would be fulfilled what Psalm 22 states, the ends of the earth shall hear and fear and turn to the Lord. Would to God there were more Pauls who, when they see the idolatry, have their spirit stirred in them. I wish I was more like Paul. There are many things that are idolatry. We might think of idols as being like these people here. He said, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. But that isn't all that's called idolatry. Paul writes to the churches and says, covetousness, which is idolatry. We think of some very gross sins in our nation. And many rise up against it, and there's a conflict, a hatred back and forth. But who is not guilty of covetousness? Do you think there's any in our nation that are not guilty of that idolatry? And we should not just have our spirit stirred when we see it in others, but our spirit needs to be stirred and ask ourselves, myself, am I guilty? Have I been? And if I have I repented? Am I still guilty of idolatry, of covetousness, which is idolatry? We hear many promises of our government, and we hear much argument of how things are being done, how much is being given, and how much is being received, and who wants this, and who wants that. Much of it is simply covetousness. covetousness, which is idolatry. What would Paul say if he knew what was going on here? How would he say it? He would probably call us like he did here at Athens and say, God commands all men everywhere to repent. But more importantly, he wouldn't just say, stop this and stop that, don't do this and don't do that, or want the government to keep laws and make laws and not to change laws to allow more sin, which is sadly being done. Laws were changed to allow murder. Laws are being changed to allow the sins of what we call homosexuality. Oh, a law to allow you to do that won't help you, my friend. It will help you satisfy your lust, but it won't satisfy your true need. We need somebody to preach to you like Paul did, Jesus and the resurrection. And you need what Paul himself wanted when he said, that I might know him, that Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That's why he could say to some who were in covetousness, and some who were in the homosexual sin, and some who were in many other sins, such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You're separated from it by the power of God. And that's what Paul was preaching here. And that's why Paul would know what this would do. He didn't have to be ashamed of what he was telling them. Like a doctor could be proud and say, this medicine will do this. Paul could say, this gospel of Christ will do all that you need for time and for eternity. The Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added, all that you ever need. And we won't have to covet. We won't have to be a covetous nation if we trust in the Lord. Cursed is he that leans on the arm of flesh. And we are bringing curses upon ourselves by leaning on the arm of flesh, by trusting in the God of mammon. That of which Paul said, money is the root of all evil, and what an evil it has brought in our nation, and what an evil it's bringing. We need Christ in the church, in the nation, in the world. Do you believe it? You can also join us on our website, www.calltoworship.org, or write us at Zion Chapel, 937 Royce, R-O-Y-C-E Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.